Hello, gentlemen and lady. This is Paul Douglas Boyer. Welcome to the Mad Money Machine Show 130. Well, on the last show, when I talked about surviving the bailout, basically, what to do about the bailout, I mentioned that we'd get back to fun on the next show, 130. Well, I'm not sure that the time is right to get back to fun yet. Since the last show, the S&P 500 index is down 15% in a week. I'm coming to you on Monday. 11:16 a.m. is the current time on my computer clock. And things around the world, assets around the world, are being devalued all over the place. Now, just about everything is going down, except strangely, oddly, queerly, weirdly, the dollar is increasing in value. What is going on? Is this deflation? Is this deflation? And by some of the definitions that I've been reading, deflation happens when money becomes scarce, when credit gets tightened. And we've certainly heard about stories about the credit crunch. And we've heard about how banks are tightening lending. We've heard about defaults on loans. And when loans default, that means money is taken out of the system. If money's taken out of the system, then that is deflation. In that case, prices on things should fall. And what we're seeing is falling prices in the stock markets, on stocks. We're seeing falling prices certainly on commodities. And we're seeing falling prices in energy even. Oil, gasoline. I just wonder, will we start to see falling prices in the supermarket on the shelves? I haven't been to the mall a lot recently, but I wonder, have you been seeing falling prices on things you buy in stores in the malls? Sometimes these have a bit of a lag, of course, as the pig goes through the python. But a lot of people, this is contrary. This deflation idea is contrary to what a lot of people have been screaming about inflation and hyperinflation. They're talking about the government printing up so many dollars to rescue the banks, this $700 billion, and some people are claiming it's not going to be enough. It's going to be, you need to get up into the trillions of dollars, more money printed in order to survive, for these banks to survive, to rescue these failing institutions. And the pundits warn that this will cause inflation. And I wonder if we might then characterize this as sort of a tsunami in the markets. You remember what happened in one of the tsunamis a couple of years ago when the great earthquake in the ocean caused the water to move in such a enormous fashion. But what happened first in the tsunami? The tide went out. The tide went out as this enormous wave sucked up all the water from the shore, and people were running out into the ocean, out into the sand, to a marvel at how far the tide had gone out, and then only to get crushed by the oncoming tsunami, the great wave that went way up on shore, wiping out homes, businesses, and property. And I just wonder, that's what it feels like to me. And I have no basis, factual basis, to make a statement that that's what it is, but that's what it kind of feels like to me. It feels like that we're having some sort of deflationary movement in stock prices, in asset prices, in commodity prices, right before a giant surge in commodity prices, asset prices, energy prices, food prices, and so forth. I have no basis. In fact, it's just a feeling that I have. This is just weird times that we're in, seeing all assets come crashing down all across the globe, and with the dollar going up in value. You know, have you seen it going up against the euro? Well, I can understand the dollar going up against the euro because the euro itself, the European markets and so forth, are just kind of catching up to the malaise that we've had for the past 9, 10, 12 months in the U.S., I think. But I just heard a report on TV where they're talking about the yen, Japanese yen. The dollar is low against the yen. In fact, the yen is highest against the dollar that it's been, apparently a new record in that currency exchange. And I know some folks had been predicting strength in the yen versus the dollar. Like on the last show when I talked about the possibility for inflation because of the bailout, and that you should not pay off your mortgage because you'll be paying it back with cheaper dollars later. Well, if there is deflation, I guess maybe you should pay off your mortgage. Deflation means your dollar is more valuable later. So you better pay off the mortgage now with those cheapy dollars today than having to wait and pay off the mortgage with more expensive dollars. To see the prices of things go down in the future because the dollar is so valuable. Well, if you are just now getting interested in what is happening all around the world, I have a couple of links in the show notes of things that might be of interest to you. There's a new film that came out on the internet. It's a documentary, and it's a little bit of a sensationalist documentary. It's called Zeitgeist Addendum. And the first part of the documentary, they talk about money, and they talk about the U.S. dollar and how money is created. And the bottom line is money is created through debt, loans. When someone takes out a loan, money is created at that moment. When someone pays back a loan, money is destroyed. And they go into some implications of this phenomenon. And a little bit later in the movie, I'm not sure if you want to watch the whole thing or not, when they get into how they might change society and do away with money and all that. But it's an interesting movie. It's well worth the first 30 to 45 minutes of watching that one. The second one that's also along these lines is a video. It's more of a PowerPoint briefing, actually, by a gentleman named Chris Martinson, and it's called The Crash Course. And you think, well, Crash Course in what? No, that's the title, Crash Course. He gives a series of about 20 different little mini briefings, somewhere between 2 and 10 minutes each, that talk about how money is created, what's happening in the world of credit, and what we should do now. I'll have a link to that, The Crash Course, in the show notes of this show. And then there's this from the European Tribune, which is called The Crisis Explained, Really, by RDF on the 25th of September. And RDF writes, analogies are never perfect, but here's one using horse racing. Don't expect a perfect correspondence to the banking situation, but I think it's close enough for government work. Okay, here's how we explain the credit crisis that's going on around the world now, using horse racing. Joe goes to the track and bets $2 on a horse. Two guys standing nearby get into a discussion, and Fred says to Sam, I'll bet you $5 that Joe wins his bet. Well, next to them are Bob and Bill. Bill says, I'll bet you $10 that Fred Welsh's on his bet if he loses. And next to them is Sally. Sally says, for $3, I'll guarantee to Bill that if Bob fails to pay off, I'll make good on the bet. Sally then goes to Mary and borrows the $7 needed in case she has to ever pay off, and promises to pay back $8. She doesn't expect to ever have to pay, since she believes Bob will always make good, so she expects to net $2 no matter what happens to Joe. A quick calculation indicates that there's now 2 plus 5 plus 10 plus 3 plus 7 equals $27 riding on the outcome of the $2 bet on the horse race. Well, here's the question. How much has been invested in the horse race? And the answer, $50,000. By the owner of the horse, who's expecting to recoup his investment from the winnings of the horse and future deals. Everyone else is gambling, not investing. The issue with the home market is that the only investor was the person who bought the home. All those engaged in the meaningless derivatives spun off from this are gambling. And you can see how quickly the face value of all these side bets can exceed the underlying investment. Who's holding these side bets? Not the homeowner. It's the people at the failing investment banks, hedge funds, and similar enterprises. Notice that the bailout is being directed at them, not at the homeowners. The real world, of course, is even more complicated. Over the last 30 years, people have been allowed to place bets on everything, starting with the value of stock averages. They might as well bet on the temperature in Newark at 8:30 a.m. So when you hear everybody saying that this is a crisis caused by the housing collapse, be skeptical. We're in the midst of a classic pyramid or Ponzi scheme, and there's no way out except for people to lose a lot of money. All that is different this time is that it's the taxpayers who are being asked for the cash. Well, that's the end of RDF's note there. And I would add an addendum. It's not actually the taxpayers who are being asked for the cash. It's the people, again, who hold dollars. And it's not just Americans who hold dollars, of course. Many, many countries around the world use the dollar as the standard. The dollar is considered the reserve currency of the world. And if our government just prints up more of them, well, everybody else's becomes worth less correspondingly. And that's what inflation is all about. So it's very odd that we're in deflationary times now with the credit crunch destroying money in the economy, while at the same time the government is creating massive amounts of money. When the credit crunch is over, what will happen then? Stay tuned and I'll give you the answer on show 186. In the Learning Earning segment, brought to you by Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com, where we learn how to earn our financial freedom even in these troubled times, we're going to go to that sage investor, Jim Cramer, to learn how to invest in your 401k plan. Listen up. Here's a caller, Abby, that called into his show last week.
Let's go to Abby in North Carolina. Abby.
Hey, Jim. Love your show.
Thank you.
Quick question for you. Index funds, is now a good time to be in them or do we get out?
The way I invest in index funds is I give 1/12 every month. This is for my 401k and for my kids' uniform gift to minors. I don't sit there and say, well, wait a second, should I time it right? But if the market drops very quickly like it just did, I think you got to double down your contribution. So after this month of September, October, I would not even wait till December. I would put in my December contribution right now. That's how I trade index funds. I guess it's not trading them. I invest in them as I've been investing with index funds since 1982. Okay, that's how I do my retirement account, is index funds.
So invest like Jim Cramer. Invest in index funds. Does your 401k plan have index funds as the one of the choices that you can make in the plan? If not, contact your retirement planning department or your human resources department or whoever's in charge of putting together the 401k plan at your employer and tell them you want to invest like Jim Cramer. You want to invest in low-cost, highly diversified index funds. Learning, earning. Well, perhaps Jim Cramer should get an account with Index Funds Advisors. You like scary movies? Did you watch the Blair Witch Project, for example? Or do you like being frightened about things? I know Walt Disney has always loved to frighten children in the movies. He loves putting fear in those little minds. What about today? What would you like to hear a frightening story, something really scary? I'll have a link in the show notes to Naomi Wolf's most recent interview. It came out just 2 days ago on Saturday night, and she is talking about martial law in the United States. And it doesn't do me any good to describe any further what she's talking about, because I wouldn't do it any justice at all. I just encourage you to click the link, listen to what she has to say. It's about a 27-minute long interview, and it's scary. So grab those blankets and cover up real good before you listen to it. You remember show 115 where the guru that came up on the guru roulette wheel was the rock band Journey? Well, I'm hoping you do. If you haven't, you've got a second chance to hear it because somebody out there in internet land took what I recorded about Journey and made it into a YouTube video, and I'll have a link to it in the show notes of show 130. It's called Arnell Pineda, The Real Deal. Journey Hits the Jackpot by Paul Douglas Boyer of Mad Money Machine, MMM 115, Fashionable Frugality. And it goes on for about 9 minutes, 38 seconds. So far, there have been over 20,000 views of this video. That's more views than any of the shows that I've ever done. And so I think a lot of people are finding out about the Mad Money Machine thanks to somebody else's work of using what I've done to talk about Journey, whom they're a big fan of. And they're encouraging everybody to vote for Journey as the rock band of the year and so forth. So thanks for the free advertisement. Don't stop believing.
It's been a mystery, and still they try to see why something good can hurt so bad. Wonder who's crying now. Two hearts born to run. Who will be the lonely one? Wonder who's crying now. Send them to wonder.
Just now bring it up on my iPhone. The Constitution, in our constitutional minute, simply going to do this. List the basic subjects of each of the seven articles. Article 1 discusses the legislative branch of the United States government. Article 2, the presidency. Article 3, the judiciary. All right, so you have the three branches of government, the legislative, the executive, and the judiciary. And Article 4 talks about the states. Article 5 talks about the amendment process to the Constitution. You see, they figured that there may be needed some changes in the Constitution over time. Well, we sure haven't had many changes in the Constitution recently, have we, in these changing times? Article 6, legal status of the Constitution, and Article 7, ratification of the Constitution. So basically, the first four articles deal with things outside of the actual Constitution itself. I'm Paul Douglas Boyer, and that's your Constitutional Minute. Let's pull something out of the Mad Money Machine tool crib. Well, I was hunting around and doing some various stock charting and things, and I came across one that I think is pretty neat, and if you haven't seen it, you probably should go out and see it. It's called the Market Carpet. And I'm sure you've seen things like this before, but I just hadn't seen this exact one. If you go to stockcharts.com, along the left-hand side, there's a list of tools and charts, and click on the one called Market Carpets. And a page will come up saying, want to visually scan and rank a large collection of stocks all at once? Want to quickly find the best and worst performers for a given time period? Our interactive Market Carpet tool is the solution you've been looking for. By representing individual stocks as colored squares, the Market Carpet lets you see at a glance what the entire market is doing, as well as all the sectors and companies within that market. A slider at the bottom of the chart lets you go back in time and see things like sector rotation happen visually. Finally, our carpets let you use different technical indicators in addition to price performance. And they have some available carpets, the S&P Sector Carpet, the Market Summary Carpet, and the Major Averages Carpet. I'm going to click on the Market Summary Carpet and have that come up. You need to be in a browser that supports Java. Oh, that's a kind of a red and yellow looking carpet today. Yeah, as the markets are dropping precipitously. There's one little green square in here. What is that? S&P 100 BPI EOD. I don't even know what that is. It's up 9% in the last 2 days. Well, I have a link to it in the show notes. That's our tool this week, Market Carpets. And like other tools I've given you so far, this one's free.
That's what I want.
Karen DeCostner, always writing entertainingly out at the LouRockwell.com/blog website, writes this: Bush keeps repeating that this bailout, oops, I mean investment, forced investment, is such a good deal for all of us on Main Street. He keeps repeating that it's a sure thing that the tax dollars invested, I love the use of the word by the politicians in the media, will be paid back, because this bailout will be a success. But if it's such a sure thing that all the tax dollars invested will be paid back, and then some, that means it's a good investment. So why aren't there some private investors who are willing to take on this great investment? Why aren't they lined up for this great opportunity? Also, how do they figure who gets paid back what? What does it mean when the robbers in Washington say we'll be paid back? Will my personal investment be quantified? And will I get a check in the mail? What's going to be my return on investment? If my investment fails, will the government bail me out by giving me back my contribution? It could, but they'd have to print money, which would bring higher inflation, wiping out any benefit from a Main Street bailout. But if I listen to the press, read the papers, listen to politicians on NPR, and listen to Bush, all this is supposed to be for me because I'm on Main Street. Do people actually listen to spoken words anymore, define them, and challenge their use? The FDIC bank fail count is holding at 13. Let's play a round of the world's favorite game, Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble, and for the selected guru, give you a little background on their investment philosophy. So here we go. And the winner this time on Mad Money Machine Show 130 is Henry Paulson. Henry Merritt Hank Paulson Jr., born March 28, 1946, is the United States Treasury Secretary and a member of the International Monetary Fund Board of Governors. He previously served as Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of Goldman Sachs. Paulson was nominated by U.S. President George W. Bush to succeed John Snow as the Treasury Secretary on May 30, 2006. And he was designated the leader of the Bush administration's efforts this year to federalize the cost of bad loans made by financial institutions. Through unprecedented intervention by the U.S. Treasury, Paulson led government efforts to avoid a severe economic slowdown. He pushed through the conservatorship of government agency mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Working with Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke, he influenced the decision to create a credit facility, bridge loans and warrants of up to $85 billion to American International Group so it would avoid filing bankruptcy. In late September 2008, Paulson, along with Ben Bernanke and Christopher Cox, led the effort to help financial firms by agreeing to use $700 billion to purchase bad debt they had incurred. Discussing his decision to take action, Paulson said, "It just happened dramatically. There was only one way we could reassure the markets and deal with a very significant and broad-based freezing of the credit market. There was no political calculus. It was overwhelmingly obvious." On September 19th, Paulson called for the U.S. government to use hundreds of billions of Treasury dollars to help financial firms clean up non-performing mortgages that threaten the liquidity of these firms. Due to his leadership and public appearances on this issue, the press labeled these measures the Paulson Financial Rescue Plan, or simply, the Paulson Plan. With the passage of House Resolution 1424, he became the manager of the United States Emergency Economic Stabilization Fund. Some have suggested Paulson's plan may potentially have some conflicts of interest, since Paulson is the former CEO of Goldman Sachs, a firm that may benefit from the plan. Paulson has no direct financial interest in Goldman, however, since he sold his entire stake in the firm prior to becoming Treasury Secretary, pursuant to ethics law. Unlike the previous bailouts and managed liquidations of Goldman competitors Bear Stearns, AIG, Freddie Mac, and Fannie Mae, in which shareholder value was largely wiped out. Goldman's stock could rise under the Paulson plan, together with many financial stocks, benefiting his former partners because it would remove some distressed assets from their balance sheet. The proposed bill would give the United States Treasury Secretary unprecedented powers over the economic and financial life of the United States. Section 8 of the original Paulson plan stated, "Decisions by the Secretary pursuant to the authority of this act are non-reviewable and committed to agency discretion and may not be reviewed by any court of law or any administrative agency." Congratulations, Henry Paulson. You're the guru on Mad Men Machine Show 130. I want to thank you for joining me here on the Mad Money Machine. This is Paul Douglas Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes knowing how to survive the tsunami to make a Mad Money Machine. I'll see you, in about 8 days or so. I think I'm going to do 4 shows in October, all spread around all over the month, not just on every Friday. So just stay subscribed in iTunes and keep coming back. In the meantime, I ask you to point your web browser, whether it's Internet Explorer, Firefox, Google Chrome, Safari, or even your iPhone, point them all to IFA.com. That stands for Index Funds Advisors, helping investors succeed by matching people with portfolios. And I encourage you to take their risk capacity survey if you haven't done so. If it's been a while since you've taken the risk capacity survey, do so again in these risky times. As always, I encourage you to send me your feedback. Email it to me, feedback@madmoneymachine.com, or call the voicemail line, 206-734-4763. Sign up for my market alerts at twitter.com/madmoneymachine, or visit the website madmoneymachine.com. Stay invested in these risky times, because risk is the source of returns.